Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every person here will have ears to understand the Word of God today, that their minds will be clear, Father God, that they'll not take offense at anything that's being said, but Lord Jesus, we'll bring truth and light to what's happening in the world today, that your people will stand up in the place that you have called them, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, a couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon about the lineage. I hope that you've went back and watched that one because it's going to be very important. I'm going to talk about that today. So if you get lost in any point, make that a schedule to go back and watch that. The last message I preached about the lineage. Dealt with Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Sarah, Hagar, you know, and how the lineage is going to be very important as I tie in that today. Okay? So you'll see a lot of those things. But today I wanted to kind of go further. I have just a couple messages, this one and probably next week, where I'm trying to take you a little further into this. So you may get in here today if you're visiting, go, well, this isn't a typical church service. You know, it may not be typical, but I promise you it's biblical. Amen. So I want to give you that. So if you cannot follow along in Scripture, write them down. You can go look them up later. I'll be giving you a lot just like I did then. They'll try to bring some up on screen if they can, but as I move through it quickly. I want to start in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. As you begin to see Scripture and study it clearly, you begin to see how everything in this world is all brought out before us right here in the Word of God. We say that God is the Alpha and the Omega. That means He's the beginning and the end. And He knows everything in between. So that's what you're going to see, and it will blow your mind when you begin to see what is unfolding before our eyes and how much God already knew. Genesis 6:11 says, "Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with Hamas." The word violence in Hebrew there is Hamas. The true translation to this all is Hamas. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. Hamas. That's what I'm going to talk to you today about. Hamas. Isn't it very interesting that a group of people call themselves Hamas? When you see this scripture, it says filled. They were possessed. Filled. Possessed. We talk about that. We don't like to talk about it. People don't like to talk about that. We don't like to hear the word possessed. We don't want, you know, we don't like to talk about evil spirits and all these things. But, you know, I just want you to know, God saw this. And this was, when He saw this, this is when we see the great flood, where He said, I can't take this corrupt people. And the flood happened and wiped out all the people except Noah and his family. And then God promised, I'll never do that again. But He thought He was trying to destroy the spirit of Hamas. Trying to wipe it off. But that is something we have to understand, is that people will come and go, but spirits remain the same. The spirits that we've seen remain the same. This happened in the very beginning. So we're talking 1,600 years after creation. You know, we have this wonderful map in the Sunday school room. Jamie bought it and brought it in and hung it up on the wall there, that shows the entire timeline from creation, from the very beginning to where we are now. And you see that in 4004, you know, is B.C., was the beginning, was creation. And then we see that in 2348 B.C. is when the flood happened, when God saw that in 1,600 years, the world was already corrupt and filled with Hamas. Okay, Hamas means the Islamic resistance movement. That's what they present to us today. Hamas, the Islamic resistance movement. But Hamas, as I said, in Hebrew is the word for violence. This is a unique word because not only does it have a Hebrew translation, but it has an Arabic translation as well. In the Arabic translation, it stands for zeal or fervor or fanaticism. You know? So we see that this word, when they talk about this, it's a word that stands for violence with fervor and fanaticism. That's what this word breaks down to. It's very, very important. Okay? That's why we always reference the scripture, Hebrews 6:12, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against rulers of authorities of unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Because there is a spirit of Hamas. There's a spirit of Hamas. There's a spirit of violence, of fanaticism that is running rampant through the world. Just as it was in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, when God saw that the earth was corrupt and filled with Hamas and filled with violence, it was possessed with evil, it is today. We fight not against flesh and blood. That's why the scripture is so important. 1 Timothy 4:1, I shared this with you a couple weeks ago as well. Again, very important to just bring it back to reference. The Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from their true faith and they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Okay? It's what the scripture tells you today. That people follow teachings from demons. I talked about this when I talked about the lineage. And how people, we did that when we did a full study of where Islam came from. Of how Muhammad heard from what he called an angel but was not an angel. It was a demon that began to lay out the Islamic teaching to them. Okay? So they're teachings that come from evil spirits. Okay? So we're going to focus on this today and understand these teachings. Okay? So for just a moment, and Sean talked a little bit about their eschatology. From Islam to Christianity, I want to break this down. He showed you many of these people, these leaders that are prominent figures in the Islamic movement, but what they say, their Islam's plan is to rule the world. That's their plan, and they say it openly. You know, we've had quotes. What they've heard recently, they've said, "We will not stop until all serve Allah." That's their plan. That there is no freedom of religion. There is no, you know, you can choose to be this or you can choose to be that. Here in America, we sit there and focus on, we're trying to make everybody get along and everybody be happy and everybody needs to have their own thing. Well, I'm going to promise you this. That is not what Islam wants. They want us to be so confused in that confusion enters America and enters the world. But they're sitting there saying, you be confused and you fight against each other because one day we're going to rise up and we're going to take over and we'll rule you all. Okay, that's their plan. It's a long game. They say, you hear them chant, Allahu Akbar. This is a chant you hear them say, you hear a lot of them say that, Allahu Akbar. This means our God is greater. Greater. So broken down means Allah is greater than Jesus. That's what they believe. Allah is greater than Jesus. So they say, Allahu Akbar, our God is greater. Greater than your God. Greater than other gods. He is greater. That's what they chant. That's what they say. Okay? Their religion is a religion of Hamas. It's a religion of violence. Their religion is a religion of imposition. It says convert or die. Convert or die. You have seen this all throughout history through the spirit of Hamas. What did Adolf Hitler do? If you were confessed to be a Jew, you died. Convert or die. It is a spirit of Hamas, a spirit of violence. Okay? So it's what we've seen throughout history. That is their religion. Ours is a religion. Christianity is a religion of proposition. It is, will you repent of your sins? Because if you accept Christ, you will have eternal life. You will be saved. You don't have to. It's up to you. It's your choice. But the Bible is clear. Those that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. It's proposition. You can choose to serve God or you can choose not to. Okay? But we believe that the Word of God is true. And we stand on the Word of God. And so some people don't understand truth yet. They're still confused, and the enemy has lied to them about what is true. But that's why the church, the people of God, have got to stand up and begin to say, this is true. Look, this is your basis of truth. This is your moral compass. Not what the right says, or not what the left says, or not what, you know, this denomination says, or that denomination. It's the Word of God. What we say here at church, when people ask me, what's your doctrine? I say, my doctrine is the Word of God from front to back. We leave nothing out, we take nothing out, we substitute nothing. Do you understand? This is truth. You have to understand, because what they've done in Islam, as I taught a couple weeks ago, they've taken certain truths that we have and twisted them to make them lies. Whatever God creates, the enemy counterfeits. It's very important to understand this. So, I'm going to give you some statistics if you'll give me a little leeway. It says, I want you to know this stuff is happening all over the world. And wherever Islam gets a foothold, it gets a stronghold. Wherever it gets a foothold, it gets a stronghold. And Sean was talking a little bit about this as he was doing his talk just a minute ago. So I want to give you the top five Islamic countries in the world. These where Islam is the strongest. They have an army, a mighty army, where Islam is absolutely the strongest that it is in all the world. Number one, Pakistan. Pakistan sits just above India and below southeastern Asia in the Middle East. It is a bridge country, a big country right there that sits in between there. It's a perfect spot for them to begin to send, you know, Muslims and Islams down into India and up into Southeast Asia and the Middle East. That's why it's so important for the missionaries that are in those countries, that are in those places, that you pray for them, because the spirit of Islam, the spirit of Hamas is strong. Pakistan's number one. Number two, Turkey. I know a couple weeks ago, Sean brought up Turkey. He showed you that picture, that graph of Turkey on the map. And he said to you, watch Turkey. Watch out for that. You'll see later what's going to happen. Turkey is number two, is the strongest Islamic country in the world. Number three, Iran. And if he has a map, he can show you where these things are if you've got it. Iran. Iran is number three. He just spoke to you about one of the leaders of Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is number four. Number four is top of Islamic countries. And then Malaysia. So these are the top five countries where Islam and their armies are the strongest. Pakistan, Turkey, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Malaysia. Wherever the enemy gets a foothold, he gets a stronghold. So I want you to know that this is also here in the U.S. I'm going to give you the top five cities in the U.S. where Islam has a foothold. Very important. Number one, New York. Number two, California. Number three, Illinois. Number four, New Jersey. Number five, Texas. Now, it's interesting. You can look at that and say, well, Pastor, you're just talking about the biggest states that we have. Okay, I understand that. Those are large states with large population. That's why they have large Islamic populations. I want to give you an honorable mention there. Number six is Michigan. And the reason why is Dearborn, Michigan has the largest per capita of Muslims in the entire country. It's number one for cities with the largest population per capita. But it's number six overall. Okay? So that's a big deal. It's a big deal to understand that. Foothold, stronghold, remember. I'm going to give you some statistics that I found. In 2017, there were 3.45 million Muslims living in the U.S. In 2020, it was reported that there were 4.45 million Muslims living in the U.S. It's 1 million more in 3 years. Okay? Now, they have recorded, the same group has recorded that there are 6.3 million Jews living in the U.S. today. They say by 2040, they are projected, the Muslim religion is projected to pass the Jewish religion and be the second largest religious group in America. They say by 2050 that there will be 8.1 million Muslims living in the U.S. Now, I want to tell you this. Their statistics are wrong. Here's why. If you saw from 2017 to 2020 a million growth, from 2020 to 2023, where we are now, there's been more than a million. Here's why. So if they've grown to over 5.5 million, I'm going to actually go ahead and on a limb and tell you it's closer to 6. So they're already almost equal to the Jews living in America. Now, why is that? Here's why. They are that because, number one, they are converting people. Okay? Christians are not. Christians are not converting people. They're not going out and making disciples. They're not telling people about Jesus. They're not telling people about the truth. But Muslims are telling people about their religion. They're telling people about Allah. They're having people follow the Quran. They are very dedicated to their religion. Very. Okay? It's grown more than a million. The other reason. Number two reason. Not only that they're converting, but number two, they're living. They're living, they're multiplying. They're just like, you know, they're being fruitful and multiplying in their own way. But yet we've seen a downturn in what we would say Christian America's reproducing. Too many people, the world is confusing people, and they're doing all this stuff. We don't need to be fruitful and multiply, but Muslims are. And as Sean was saying, they'll take those that are not following that command and kill them, and they say, well, it wasn't because of that. It wasn't because of their sexual preferences or because of this or because of that, but it is. Number three, the reason why they're growing at an exponential growth rate is we do not have secure borders. They are coming into the country by droves. So we didn't grow 1 million from 17 to 20 and not have that exponential growth from 2020 to 2023 with what was happening in the world. If they know about the 4.5 million, I guarantee there's a half a million they don't know about, because as Sean was just saying, there's sleeper cells all over. So if my calculations are accurate, the Muslim religion is almost equal, if not greater, than the Jewish religion in America today, right now. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Christians say they had the largest religious group. But how many do we have are inactive? Do not participate. You can walk up and down the street. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you believe in Jesus? I believe in Jesus. Does that mean that we follow a religion, that we know the truth, that we stand on the word of God? No. It doesn't. It doesn't. But if you find a Muslim that says, I'm Muslim, then they follow their traditions. They're very dedicated to that. I'm going to give you some more statistics to back this up. Now, this I'm going to do per capita for you, just so you don't say I'm talking about the largest cities. This is per capita. The highest abortion rate in the U.S. by state, number one, New Jersey. Number two, New York. Number three, Maryland. Number four, Illinois. Now, out of those four that I've just named, three were the foothold of Hamas cities, Hamas states. Number five, Florida. Number six, California. Now we've got four. And then number nine was Michigan. Now we have all five of the top cities where Hamas is strong, where Islam is strong, all in the top 10. Of U.S. states per capita in abortion. Now I'm going to give you the highest reported forcible rape cases in the U.S. per capita. Number one, Texas. Number two, California. Number three, Florida. Number four, Michigan. Number five, New York. Number six, Illinois. You have again found the five top cities where Islam has a stronghold. Where they have a foothold, they have a stronghold. The highest violent crimes by city, per capita. St. Louis, Missouri. Detroit, Michigan. Baltimore, Maryland. Maryland has got a stronger cell than people know. Maryland. Memphis, Tennessee. Oakland, California. And Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Crime, rape, abortion. This is the spirit of Hamas at work. It is not just at work in other countries, but it is at work here in America. And we must fight back against evil spirits. That's why we don't fight against flesh and blood. That's why some people try to make it about flesh and blood. Acting like we're mad about somebody. I'm not mad at somebody. I'm not mad at them because of what they choose to do, how they choose to live. I'm mad at the enemy because of the lies he's told them. You understand? It's important that we know who we're upset with. You know, you see some people walk around mad. They don't even know who they're mad at. They just mad at everybody. They're mad at the world. I'm not mad at everybody. I'm mad at the enemy. I'm not mad at one person. I don't hate someone. I hate the enemy. I hate the spirit of Hamas. It's no coincidence that when Hamas went into Israel, that they went in to kill women and children. Because they always attack children. Why? Because they want to kill the lineage. They want to kill the lineage. That's what they're after. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. Go back, listen to that. What is important about the lineage? That's what they're after. Sarah knew this. In Genesis 21:10, Sarah, it said, she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman. Cast out, like a demon. Cast it out. And her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, Isaac. This is Genesis 21:10. She said that because in Genesis 21:9, if you look, and our weak translation here in your Bible probably says that Sarah caught Ishmael laughing at Isaac. That's what it says in a lot of them. But that's watered down. Because he wasn't laughing at. He wasn't playing. He wasn't looking at Isaac and making the funny faces to make a baby laugh. It actually says, as you look at the translation, that he was scoffing him. That he was mocking him. Do you understand? That he was picking on him. In what world does a 16-year-old have anything to do with a 2-year-old? I got a good word today. Listen up. In what world does a 16-year-old take control of a 2-year-old? We're not going to allow a 16-year-old to mock and have his way and torment a 2-year-old. That's what was happening, and Sarah knew that was a spirit of Hamas. When you see, we hear the horrible things in this world about those that say, when I was 4, when I was 5, when I was 6, I was molested by someone that was 18 or 20. That's Hamas. That's a spirit of evil. It's awful. That should not happen in the world in which we live in. What kind of world would we live in where that happens? But Sarah knew. Sarah was smart. She said, I'm not allowing this boy to be in the same home as my son. He wasn't laughing at him. He wasn't playing with him. He was tormenting him because of the lineage. There was a spirit of Hamas that was happening there, that was at work. And Sarah told Abraham, cast out that woman and her son. Cast it out. I want to take you to Joel chapter 3, verse 19. I want you to look into another area of the spirit of Hamas. We saw the spirit of Hamas in Genesis chapter 6. We saw the spirit of Hamas here in Genesis 21. Now I want you to see this scripture out of Joel 3:19. It says, Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, because of Hamas against the people of Judah. For they have shed innocent blood in their land because of violence. Egypt shall be in desolation, Edom a desolate wilderness because of violence against the people of Judah. Judah is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. It was the first tribe to take its place in the land of Israel and occupy the southern part. If you look at Israel, it occupied the southern part right next to Egypt. So why is this word coming out against Egypt? To find that, you got to look at Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, I will read most of this chapter here, so I want you to pay attention to this chapter, Exodus chapter 1. It says, these are the names of the sons of Israel, that is Jacob, who moved to Egypt with their father, each with his family. Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. In all, Jacob had 70 descendants in Egypt, including Joseph, who was already there. Now, if you remember the story of Joseph, Joseph was sold, his brother sold him into slavery. Joseph went on and then ended up in prison, ended up in Egypt, and then he rose to a top. He began to speak into the government there and began to bring them out through years of famine, okay? Joseph was a very influential man. They loved Joseph. But then, verse 6, it says, in time, Joseph and all his brothers died, ending that entire generation. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Verse 8, eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. I just want to pause and tell you, this is why it's important. And the Bible has told us time and time again, take your children and your grandchildren and tell them the stories of the victories of what God has done. It is why we tie this word around our neck and teach it from generation to generation. Because if they don't know, someone will rise up that doesn't know how good God was to them. God sent Joseph to deliver Egypt, but a king rose up and saw those generations that had grown powerful and filled the country. Instead of being grateful because God had blessed them, he had odds with him. And he says, look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't and war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country. He said, we must make a plan. The enemy has a plan. His plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the plan of the enemy. He doesn't even hide his plan. He's got a plan. And he's operating in his plan. We're seeing more and more and more of these things come to light. It is the plan of the enemy to keep them from growing. What do you think he wants to do with the church? He wants to shut it down. He wants to keep it from growing. Why do you think that they shut down churches in 2020? It wasn't because of COVID. It was a plan of the enemy to shut the church's mouth. I'm telling you. They have a plan to keep it from growing. The enemy has a plan. But you have to know today, God has a plan too. Amen. And his plan is right here in the Word of God. He doesn't hide it from his enemy either. He says, you can try whatever you want, but I own the cattle on a hillside, and I know I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. Everything I say will happen. He knows it. He has it right here. He's given us a plan. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he will deliver. He has a plan, and his plan includes you. I want you to know his plan includes the church. His plan includes FWC. His plan includes Bardstown. His plan includes America. But we have to be a part of the plan because the enemy's got a plan. Verse 11. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build cities of Pithom and Ramesses to supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed him, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread. Oh, it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do. He can press you down. He can torment you. He can try to break you. But I'm telling you, that's when the church thrives. That's when it grows. You know? It says the more that the Israelites, they multiplied more. And more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. Verse 15, and then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Sapphira and Pu. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. And if the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. Spirit of Hamas. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's order, and they allowed the boys to live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? Why have you allowed the boys to live? And the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. I want to tell you something important for the church today. The important thing for the church today is fear God. We don't fear man. We don't fear the government. We fear God. Just like those women, those Hebrew women, those midwives that said, I don't fear Pharaoh. I fear God. I'm telling you, we have to rise to a point that our fear is only a fear of God. Now, it's not a fear of judgment. That's what we're talking about in our book, The Awe of God. It's not that we should be afraid that God's going to punish us, that he's going to strike us down. No, it's we should be afraid of one moment away from the presence of God. We should be afraid that any sin that we have in our life separates us from God. That's a fear of God. It's the fear that without God, I am nothing, but with God, I'm strong. It's a fear that, you know, without God, my life could fall apart, but with God, I'm everything. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. We have to understand that that's the fear we're talking about. Growing, that we cannot live without God. Those Hebrew women knew, if I obey what Pharaoh says, I'm displeasing God. Where is that fear in America today? Where is that fear in the church today? Well, if I accept this, if I say this, I'm going to be displeasing some people, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. I have a fear of hurting God's feelings. I'm not worried about people's feelings. I'm not worried about the enemy's feelings. I'm worried about what God thinks of me. I have a fear of God. I'm not afraid of God. I'm afraid of being without God. That's a fear. That's the fear that the Hebrew wives have. And when you have that fear, it says that God continually blessed them. They had families of their own. They grew and multiplied. They were blessed. When you operate with only the fear of God, well, God will bless you. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. He'll bless your family. He'll bless your finances. He'll bless your job. He'll bless everything around you as long as you're faithful to him. I don't fear a boss. I don't fear a government. I'm telling you, there's going to be a day. The Bible tells us that there's going to be a day that you have to answer, that you have to stand and say, even in this world, even in the world we live in, and say, who do you believe in? Who is your hope in? Who is your trust in? And they want you to denounce Christ. And if you're fearing for your life, if you're fearing that they will kill you or torment you or lock you up in jail, you don't fear God. We have to have a fear of God, that no matter if death is knocking at the door, I stand on the word of God. Because his word is true. Verse 22, so Pharaoh gave this order to all people, throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but let the girls live. The spirit of Hamas. He wanted to kill the lineage. It's always been about killing the lineage. We saw it in Genesis 6, Genesis 21. We see it here in Exodus. It's also seen in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. When we hear about Jesus being born, it says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and to put to death all the male children who were born in Bethlehem and all the districts from 2 years old to under." Why? Because of the spirit of Hamas. They wanted to kill the lineage. The spirit of Hamas, the spirit of has been rampant through the world since the beginning of time. Since the fall of Satan. He's used Hamas. He's used violence to torment his people. He's used people to rise up and begin to kill children, to kill people, to destroy Jews. We've seen it. These guys that we're watching in the Middle East are no different. They're just the next Adolf Hitler. They're the next thing. But they have to keep having a next thing. And our thing remains the same. Our thing remains the same. The spirit of Hamas has always wanted to kill children. Hamas is the spirit of abortion. And if they can't kill, they want to destroy. That's why we're seeing our children being castrated, confused in their sexuality. Why? Why? Because they want to kill the lineage. It has nothing about them being free to be who they want to be. That's a lie of the enemy. It's about controlling the lineage. Muslims move into our cities, our towns, our states. And as Sean was saying, they don't report the fact that they don't allow this stuff to happen in their own religion. They don't follow the law of America, even when they live in our cities. In Dearborn, Michigan, the police don't even go in to their area. They have their own law. It's called Sharia law. They let them do their own thing. We're not governing them. And the more they... did we not see that during some things that just happened recently? When they were burning things in cities and the police just stood back, so we're not going to control them. We can't do nothing about that. Spirit of Hamas. The spirit of Hamas rose greatly. We've seen it. And all the things that have happened, the movements that we've seen, the BLM movements, and we've seen, there were things, there were injustices done. I'm not saying that. There were. But the spirit of Hamas used that to destroy cities. They did. We saw it before us. And you think sometimes, man, I could never get away with anything like that. You know? The things that people got away with. Beating people to a pulp. Police standing by. I just read a story. A lady was getting mugged. And a guy pulled out a gun and fired a shot to deter the mugger. And so the police show up and arrested the guy that fired the warning shot to run off the mugger. And the lady that was getting mugged said, "I just wish he wouldn't have done that. I don't know why he had to have a gun. He saved her life." And she said, "You know, he could have been a hero, but then he just had to revolt to violence." You can't make this stuff up. Because the spirit of Hamas runs rampant. Psalms 74:20. The scripture here says, "Remember your covenant promises." The writer here of this psalm is speaking to the Lord. He says, remember your covenant promise. It's okay to remind the Lord what he promised you. Remember what he promised you. That's why we tell you, when you get a word from the Lord, when someone prophesies over you, remember that. Some of you he spoke to as a child. And you got away from the Lord. You did your own thing for a while. and you're scared that that word, that promise that God gave you is null and void, but it's not. Because God is not a man that he should lie. His promises are without revoke to his people. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you've done. I want you to know that the promise that God gave you still stands. When you come back to Jesus Christ and make him the Lord and Savior of your life, his promise still stands. Psalm 74:20. Remember your covenant promise, for the land is full of darkness and Hamas. Violence. Now I want to take you to Psalms 83. If you don't know, many people have talked about the different wars that will come in the end times. This is a time that God has prophesied about. And you've heard Pastor Sean and I both say, this is the time we believe we are in, right here. Psalms 83, the Psalms 83 war that is being declared. And it says here, starting in verse 1, O God, do not be silent. Do not be deaf. Do not be quiet, O God. Don't you hear the uproar of your enemies? Don't you see that your arrogant enemies are rising up? They devise crafty schemes against your people. They conspire against your precious ones. Come, they say, let us wipe out Israel as a nation. That is what they're attempting right now. We will destroy the very memory of its existence. That is their plan. Yes, this was their unanimous decision. They signed a treaty as allies against you. These countries that we're talking about, that we've been showing you, they have signed a treaty against Israel. If they sign a treaty against Israel, they've signed it against God. The only hope that America has ever had is that we've stood with Israel. But we've had backdoor dealings where we've supported Iran, sent them billions of dollars to build their nuclear weapons, and say we stand with Israel. If they sign treaties and backdoor deals against Israel, they're signing it against God. That's why the church must stand with Israel. Then verse 6, it says, these Edomites and Ishmaelites, Moabites, Hagrites, Gebulites, Ammonites, Amalekites, and people from Philistia and Tyre, Assyria has joined them too, and is allied with the descendants of Lot. Now it began to show you these people that when we read all these words in the Bible that sometimes we just let it go right over our head. Well, I don't know who Moabites are, Ishmaelites. You know, heck, we think we're in a cave. We got stalactites. We don't know what's happening when it starts mentioning all this stuff. We get all lost. But it's important we understand what it's saying. Philistia is the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. That's who it is. Okay? That same spirit is there. Has always been there. That is those. Where is this war coming from? Where's Hamas located? Its headquarters are the Gaza Strip. Mention them. Philistia. Tyre. Lebanon. Headquarters of Hezbollah. To the north. We have enemy inside in Gaza. Enemy to the north in Hezbollah. Then it says, the Assyria. Assyria are the Syrians located to the east. All of these that are listed in Psalms 83 are now gathering to fight Israel and have signed a treaty to destroy Israel today. That's what they've done in the world right now. They're going after. We see all of these. As Sean had mentioned these, the Hagarites, the Moabites, the Ishmaelites. Look, they're all there. Tyre. He said all these things. Everything I just, Philistia, over here, Edom. They're all around Israel. Israel's the little spot right there between Tyre and Philistia right there. It's a little strip. All of them around it. They're coming to destroy Israel and wipe it off the face of the earth. That is what they want to do. That's what we're seeing. That's Psalms 83. Right here before you. That's their plan. That's their goal. But God says Israel will not be destroyed. God says that he will deliver Israel. Now, I want you to notice what we're going to see is the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, rise up and win this war. Here's why. Because just as the Lord said that one of us could put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000, we need to understand that Israel is outnumbered. It's outmanned. It's outgunned. It's surrounded. But God. But God. He's going to rise up the Israeli defense forces, and they're going to defeat all of these that have risen up against them. If you look from Psalm 73 to Psalms 83, all of those psalms right there at the top of your Bible say a psalm of Asaph. Okay? A song of Asaph. From 73 to 83. Now you can go back and look. David appointed Asaph as a worship leader, he was a prophetic, worshiper, a prophetic seer, and began to prophesy the things he sang about, that he wrote his psalms about. You see studies of him and Chronicles and all these things. But 73 to 83, it talks about Asaph. So I read 74. It was a psalm of Asaph, talking about those reminding God. And then you see here in 83, he's reminding God. Okay? Very important to understand this. What Asaph means, it means the gatherer of people. This is the time that Asaph is pronouncing and proclaiming, and it is a time for the gatherer of people, the church, to come together and rise up. He's called, as the voice goes forth, it is time for the children that have been lost to come home. That is why we see Jews going back to Israel. They're returning to Israel because the sound of Asaph, his voice, is going forth. Read Psalm 73 to 83. All the Psalm of Asaph. It's what you're seeing now. He's reminding God of his promises. We're seeing this culmination come now. And he's proclaiming this. Asaph is derived from four letters. A-S-A-P. As soon as possible. God is gathering his people ASAP. We are not in a spot that we can say, well, in another 1,000 years, hallelujah, God is coming. No. The voice of Asaph ASAP has went forth to gather the people. And we're seeing them come together. The church is going to rise in Israel's victory. It's going to rise. Like never before, I believe that this victory that we see through Israel now is where the blessings of those that says from the wicked is laid up for the just. It comes when Israel finds justice. And it is coming now. They are knocking on the door ASAP. They're trying to destroy Israel ASAP. But you need to know what the Word of God says. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60, verse 14. It says, the descendants of your tormentors will come and bow before you. This is what will happen after Israel's victory. Those who despise you will kiss your feet. They will call you the city of the Lord and Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Jump into verse 18. Hamas will disappear from your land. I might as well go home. If that's all we got for Israel. Violence will disappear from the land of Israel. God's chosen people. His chosen land. The desolation and destruction of war will end. Salvation will surround you like city walls, and praise will be on the lips of all who enter there. Hamas is being destroyed. With this victory, we are seeing Hamas destroyed. We are seeing victory for the land of Israel. And it is coming soon. It is coming soon. We have to fight against that spirit that's trying to make its way and show its head here in America. We have to know that we're standing with God's people. God's covenant promise. God's covenant land. Because that we have accepted Christ, we have inherited the promise. We are not Jews. We're Gentiles saved by grace through Jesus Christ and have inherited the promise that he has given to his people. Okay? He is coming to destroy Hamas. We're getting ready to watch a couple things. The war will increase because it has to. Right before this war, right before they went to attack Israel on the surprise attack that they did at the beginning of October on one of the Jewish holy days, on one of the Sabbaths, the talk the week before was how close Iran is in their nuclear weapons. Do you have Iran? Do you have anything that shows the Western Bank? The talk was how close they were on their nuclear weapons. Iran, the Prince of Persia, is the puppet master in all this. They are using Hamas to distract from what they're trying to do. Hamas is a distraction. Matter of fact, even throughout Scripture, when it talked about Philistine, it didn't talk about Philistine, it didn't talk about the Philistines being against the Israelites. It says that they were a thorn in their flesh. They've been there to torment them. That's all Hamas is right now. They're not an enemy. They're a thorn in the flesh. Iran is an enemy. But anyway, we see this happening right now. Hamas, Hezbollah, Syria, all of these are deterrents that we're supposed to focus on and see what's happening all over so that we don't focus on what Iran's doing. Where's that? Where you got? You got Iran up here for me? Where's that at? Oh, okay, he's working on it. So, on the western bank of Iran is where all the nuclear weapons are. If Iran sets off a nuke in 6 minutes and 66 seconds. That's not a coincidence. It would hit Israel and destroy Israel. Guess what? They don't even care that Hamas is there. Think about that. They're using them, but they don't care if they destroy them either. Iran is buying time to have their nukes ready. But if you watch the Western Bank of Iran, God is going to destroy and says, the scripture I think you read in Zephaniah. Sean, what scripture do you have in Zephaniah? Was it Iran being uprooted? But he's going to come in and remove Gaza as uprooted. He's going to come in, though, and in the Western Bank, he's going to remove the nuclear weapons that they have that are set forth to destroy Israel. Israel, the IDF, will rise up and destroy Hamas, Hezbollah. And Sean's told you over and over and over to watch out for Syria. Syria, oldest city, Damascus. You're going to see Damascus then be destroyed. It says Damascus, the word of God says Damascus will be one day and the next day will be gone. Damascus will be destroyed. Okay? I don't know. Maybe God redirects the nuke. I don't know. But that's what the word of God says. What you're watching now is all of this unfold. All of these are tormentors of Israel. They are the Hamas spirit at work. Okay? All of that is going to come to a head. We're going to see this as we see the Psalms 83 war take place. Israel will be strong. Now, I know I'm out of time, but I want to read this one scripture and I'll close. Here's why we are not at Ezekiel 38. And I'll maybe teach this as another time, but I just want you to know where you're at. Verse 8 of Ezekiel 38 says, a long time from now, you'll be called into action. In the distant future, you will swoop down on the land of Israel, which will be enjoying peace after recovering from war. What war? This war. Psalms 83. And after its people have returned from many lands to the mountains of Israel, you and all your allies, Israel will have allies, a vast and awesome army will row down on them like the Gog and Magog and all that you've heard about. They are speaking to them. You and all your allies will row down on them like a storm and cover the land like a cloud. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. At that time, evil thoughts will come to your mind and you'll devise a wicked scheme. You will say Israel is unprotected land filled with unwalled villages. This is how you know you're not in Ezekiel 38. Right now, Israel's the most protected walled city in the world. It has walls all around it. Walls on the northern border, fences on the northern border, walls that keep Gaza inside. All of those walls are up. All of those walls will be destroyed during this war. Israel will take victory over its enemies, Hamas and Hezbollah and Syria and Damascus in this war. Israel will enter a time of peace. I have a time frame that I believe how long that will happen. It will be during our lifetime, obviously. It's coming very soon. And as Israel is prosperous, we will be prosperous. When Israel is blessed, the people of God will be blessed. You're going to see, after this war, a blessing come on the church like you've never seen. I'm telling you. Israel's going to live in such peace. They're not going to have walls around its city. It's going to be blessed. And then those other countries that we've talked about, this is where Russia and Turkey and Pakistan and all them will come together again and make a new plan, a new scheme to come and attack Israel. And this is when the Lord says, Israel will not be ready, but he will. Right now, Israel's ready. The IDF is strong. They're going to defeat this war with God's help and with us standing with Israel in prayer. The spirit of Hamas will be destroyed. Violence will be no more in the land of Israel. And we will have a time of peace for the gathering of souls. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. So what do you got to do today? Make a stand against violence. Hamas. Stand with Israel. Watch God move mightily. There is nothing to be afraid of. I want to tell you that. You hear all this stuff sometimes, and sometimes we let fear overtake. But God's got a plan. It's at work, and it's never been more clear. I mean, the scriptures are unfolding before our very eyes. They're happening right now. We're seeing prophecy after prophecy come forth. It's remarkable. We couldn't live in a better time. But you know what? That is for the people that serve God. So I want to tell you today, if you're here and you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you're not living for Him like you should, today is the day. Asapha has spoken. ASAP. It is time to serve God today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I just want to do this today. Because as I was speaking, I began to hear the Lord speak to me and began to show that there are those that had things over you, spoke over you, promises over you when you were young. And then you've had some things happen in life and the enemy has lied to you and said you don't deserve it anymore. You can't do what God has for you anymore. You'll never be what God called you to be. You'll never be happy. You'll always be depressed. You'll always have anxiety. But I'm telling you, God says when you come today, you make that call, you make that prayer today and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and I recommit and dedicate my life to Him. All these things go away and the promise that God has for you still stands. If you're here today and you know you're not serving God, you know you haven't made Him Lord of your life, you know that there have been things in this world that have distracted you, but today is the day that you know I'm going to make a decision to follow the Lord. I'm going to stand for the things of God. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand so I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. I know there's more. If you know, thank you. If you say, I've just been away from God. I know that I haven't feared Him like I should. Feared Him in fear of not having His presence. Thank you. If that's you, yes, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Because that is it. Today we have to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, wisdom. And today He's going to open your eyes, open your ears, so that you begin to understand the path that God has for you. Thank you. Don't leave here today and think about it. If you want to make God the Lord of your life and say, today I'm drawing a line and I'm not crossing it anymore. I want to stand for God. Hallelujah. Let me see those hands. God bless you guys. Amen. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I admit today that I'm a sinner and ask You to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. Forgive me where I've taken advantage of You. Forgive me when I didn't make You a priority. Today, God, cleanse my heart. Cleanse my mind. That I may fear You today. That I may love You with all my heart. I believe that You are the one true God. And I will serve You all the days of my life. Amen. I promise you, it's that simple. It's that simple. We got to know that His word is true and that He cares and loves for His people. You are His people. You are chosen. Thank you for being patient today as I went through that. And I hope that you sit back and watch what God does, but you stand firm, knowing God is in control. He is in control, and we will see Him victorious. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.